Welcome to the first episode of Did You See That? A podcast brought to you by BetEase. Bet with confidence, bet with ease. No, that's not actually the slogan, is it?
No.
No, it's cool though.
Not at all.
No. All right, it's fine. So we're going to talk hockey today. Yep. I guess they're currently playing, while we record this, Tampa Bay and Boston going into game three.
Yeah, it's 4 minutes in and Tampa already leads 1-0 on a nice cross-seam pass.
Yeah, so, absolute insanity here with Tampa Bay splitting the home games with the visiting Boston. That basically puts home field advantage or home ice advantage in the hockey in the court of them there, Boston Bruins.
Yeah, which is a little worrying because Boston is another one of those cities like Winnipeg where the crowd really tends to give their home team an advantage. There are some teams where it doesn't really matter, but there are a couple where it does, and Boston is definitely one of them.
Yeah, yeah. Boston fans are not quiet people.
Yeah, that's for
typically.
Sure.
but they're a solid team, and that's 2-0 as we record this. We got to stop spoiling it for anybody because there's no ways people are listening to this and not having seen the game.
Yeah, exactly.
But the point is, Boston. If I had to guess the winner of this series going in, even though Tampa Bay was higher in the standings at the end of the season,
close.
Yeah, I would say Boston would be the favorite for me.
That's what I would expect too. I feel like they just play a playoff style that's more suited to winning games in the playoffs.
They're bigger, Tampa, they're bruisier.
Exactly. I feel like with playoff hockey in today's NHL, you'll often go farther the more defensive you play, whereas the high scoring teams who just in the regular season outscore people, they don't go as far just because they don't have the defense to keep up. Or to keep goals out of their net, or they don't have the goaltending. They just expect to outscore everybody 6-5 or 7-5, which, well, besides yesterday's Jets game, doesn't really happen as much.
Yeah, and those goals came in flurries, right? So three quick goals, then nothing. Then three quick goals, then nothing.
Yeah, well, exactly.
So yeah. The playoffs is a totally different style, and I think Boston really embodies that, although they don't have the big guys they used to have, right?
Yeah.
Like Lucic is gone, and they're really missing that like real physical in front of the net guy. But
yeah, I think a lot of their younger players are probably going to grow into being more physical. People like Jake DeBrusk,
Amazing playoff, by the way.
They've both been having amazing playoffs. David Pastrnak, he's probably not going to be as much of a gritty, grindy player, but he does play in Boston, and they do have a way of turning star players into physical players.
Well, and then you got guys who, I mean, Brad Marchand, who really could be.
For anyone that is just listening to this, Adam just rolled his eyes because we both don't really like Brad Marchand.
Yeah.
So he's just going to point that out.
Well, it's funny because the guy has the skill to potentially be a Sidney Crosby level player, or you know what I mean? Or
he's a good player, and there's no taking away from that. It's just the way that he often plays the game.
He overshadows
his offensive skill or defensive prowess, as I would call it. It's hard to like a player like that. It's hard to say he's a player that I really like and I would really want on my team.
Yeah, I mean,
because I don't want a pest on my team.
Yeah, he's like Sean Avery, but with skills.
Exactly.
And I have no respect for people who play the game that way, especially when Brad Marchand, like I said, like him or lump him, he's got the skills to be one of the best players in the league.
Oh, for sure.
And chooses, despite that, to play like an absolute asshole. And yeah, it drives me mental.
Yeah. It's just it's an addition to his game, and I'm pretty sure it's because he plays in Boston. I could be wrong, but I feel like they're a team that likes to get under people's skin and be annoying and obnoxious.
Well, yeah, but I mean, there's ways to do that, like what the...
Yeah, there's ways to do that within the rules, and sometimes he is skirting along the edge of fair and unfair.
Yeah, and
he's
just, honestly, in my opinion, he just makes stupid decisions at the dumbest times. he'll score three goals in a game, but you'll get scored on three times because he's sitting in the box for the dumbest penalty you can think of.
Yeah, for putting his stick between someone's legs,
or like a stupid spear that was way behind the play because somebody said something to him. Like, he's got no discipline, and like, if he could figure out how to turn, like, his need for vengeance into a goal scoring threat. Like, when you piss off Sidney Crosby, he doesn't spear you in the face. He
does it a little, but
he gets a little bit whiny at times. You know, there's that moment of like, because he thinks like the referee should be protecting him, but he'll score a goal on you as revenge. Whereas Marchand is more of he's just a pest for the sake of being a pest. He will spear you. He will butt end you. He will do that stupid little crappy thing that has no place in the game. And it drives me nuts. And other teams have figured that out, where if they get under his skin, he's going to do something dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And unnecessary.
There are quite a few players in the league like that, and two of them just faced off. The other one that a lot of people know about is Nazem Kadri of the Leafs.
Same thing.
The way that people put it, and I think it's absolutely genius, is with him, there's a red mist where he's fine and he's a good player until one little thing pisses him off, and then he just can't control himself, and he just goes off the deep end and starts.
Yeah, he just dirty sees hits red. Yeah,
he just sees red and just goes nuts, and then costs his team. Like what happened in the Boston Leafs series, he gets a 3-game suspension, and they lose their number two center.
Well, yeah, it all comes down to him being an idiot, and it's exactly what Marchand is doing. So Marchand is a little more controlled than Kadri, I would say, honestly, more skilled.
For sure.
But
I can't argue that.
But, in all honesty, Marchand should be a better player than he is, but he just chooses to be a dick, which is the frustrating thing. We can move on. We've said this over and over.
Yeah, I agree.
Tampa Bay-Boston series is going to be quite interesting. Especially if Tampa Bay can manage to steal one back from Boston and regain home ice advantage, that might be a big deal. So,
well, we're currently about 6 minutes in, and Tampa's up 2-0 and has a power play right now.
Yeah, and if they can just keep themselves disciplined, Boston will have a chance at coming back because they're a gritty team that does like to battle like that, but.
There's lots of time. So
there's tons of time in the game.
I don't expect
and there's tons of time in the series, too, right? Oh, it's only game three. So there's tons of time for everybody to kind of settle in and figure things out and make adjustments. So we'll see how that series plays out. Later tonight, I'm actually really excited about Vegas.
Yeah.
Vegas is playing tonight.
Vegas is just...
They're a team on fire.
It's insane. The crazy part about Vegas for me... It's not even, like, obviously it's amazing how well they've done this year. Like, nobody expected it. The person that expected Vegas to go to the Stanley Cup playoffs and win a round or even win a game, if you bet on it, you're probably rich right now. But no one did because everyone thought they were going to be a bottom feeder.
Well, and you know what? I never thought bottom feeder, but I for sure didn't think, Stanley Cup contender year one.
Yeah, exactly.
That said, they came into the league at a time where there is much more parity amongst the teams than ever before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The salary caps have done a really good job of making it so there aren't, like in baseball, you don't have... You have the Yankees and the Red Sox who have $200+ million rosters. Yeah. And, other teams literally...
Yeah,
monetarily can't compete.
That's just the way that the salary cap in the NHL works, where it's a hard cap and there's nothing you can do to get around it within reason. Like you see teams go like $1 million or $2 million over the cap, or in the Leafs case up to like $5 million, but but there's no luxury tax like in the NBA or in baseball, where if you are a bigger city that makes more money, you'll have more to spend on those players.
Yeah,
like how Cleveland bigger go markets. Over the cap. In basketball, that is. Where in hockey, you just don't get to do that because every team, they want to make it fair or whatever
and,
it is.
And I think that's great because it makes... I mean, haven't these playoffs been exceptionally exciting?
Oh, for sure. Every round so far and every game not every game, every round has had at least one exciting game per series.
Well, which is crazy. I think they've all had multiple exciting games.
Yeah, exactly.
But each series has been really interesting to watch unfold. And mm-hmm. and I think that is the advantage to Vegas coming into the league now, is that coming in, because of that parity, because there's so much talent out there on the free market, and the way that McPhee organized backroom deals, like what a wizard he was putting those deals together. And you were like, you're awestruck by the number of picks they have.
Yeah. So I have the Vegas Golden Knights, some of their stats pulled up right now. They have in cap space this year, they have $6 million currently. Now, keep in mind, they've already taken
on... That's how much space they have currently.
Currently. And you have to keep in mind, also, they have taken on some horrible contracts, like Thomas Tatar, who makes $5.3 million for the next 3 years. David Clarkson, who makes $5.25. Mikhail Gorbatsky, who makes $5 million. Like, some of these contracts are just awful. And they still have $6 million in cap space. And over 50% of their roster next year are all unrestricted or restricted free agents. So they have the choice to bring them back or not.
Well, and that's
just crazy.
But those players also have options as well. So they're all playing for their careers, which is, exactly. I think, another factor in Vegas' success, is that every single one of those players has something to prove. And I'll tell you who I'm most impressed with on the Vegas Golden Knights is James Neal.
I'm going with William Karlsson.
Oh, he's having a great year too.
If you take a look at William Karlsson's stats, it's actually unbelievable, and there's no way he's going to repeat it. So that's going to hurt.
But Vegas. He's young.
He's 25,
right?
Which is young. You're right. But if you look at his stats from previous years in other leagues, this is just completely unparalleled.
Yeah, but he's playing,
not even close.
But he's playing on a team where that they've been having consistent success like that over the course of the entire season as a team, not just as individual players. Mm-hmm. Their entire team are playing like a team. They came together, and instead of trying to be a bunch of superstars, trying to play for their contracts together, they all figured out that if we play together, everybody looks good. I picked a number of Vegas Golden Knights on my hockey pool, and what was really cool about that was the fact that they got me 11 points one night. One night from that 7-0 destruction of San Jose, I got 11 points in my hockey pool.
Yeah.
That was mental. And that's 1 point for goal, 1 point for an assist. Like, just the production of this team as a whole, as a team. They play so well as a lubricated unit.
Yeah. I have William
Which Carlson's sounds terrible, stats. But that's not what I meant.
We know what you meant. here are his stats. So this year, 2017-18 with the Vegas Golden Knights, he had in 82 games, so he played every game this season.
Jeez.
43 goals, 35 assists for 78 points. He was the third highest goal scorer in the league. Now, the next highest goal total he has is 20, and that was in 2010-2011. So that's 8 years ago.
In what league?
7-8 years ago. As far as I can tell, that is the juniors in, I believe, Sweden. So in junior, he scored half as many goals.
Well, but
as he did in the Premier League in the world.
But how much of a genius does George McPhee look like, having brought on all these players who are playing way above their pay grade? Mm-hmm.
Well, I think Vegas also got helped out in a lot of ways. Now, don't get me wrong, they've played above their potential, and I think everybody knows that. But some of the blame, per se, on them doing so well when everyone expected them to do so bad has to go to other teams in the league. Like, for example, Florida. How does Vegas manage to get both Jonathan Marchesso and Riley Smith? How do they get both? They're both top players, and they somehow got both from them when every team is only supposed to give up one.
And Riley Smith has been playing possessed too, right?
Well, I know. It's insane. And they have him locked up for the next 5 years on a pretty reasonable contract.
But, I mean,
assuming he continues to play the way he is now.
But I'm going to be interested to see when Seattle comes in. I mean, we all know Seattle's going to be the next team in as the next NHL team. But the rules are exactly the same for them as they were for Vegas. So are they going to be able to recreate this in that they have a team that can compete out of the gate as like a you know, right out of the box have a product?
I think the way that people are going to decide on how well Seattle will do is going to be based on how well Vegas does next season. Because this, for what people are saying now, even after everything Vegas has done this year, they're saying, oh, they're still, it's just a lucky season. You know, they're playing better than they're supposed to.
But they did it all year, guys.
I know, but people are going to base it off of, if they do poorly next year, they're going to say, oh, it's just a one-off season. So there's no way that Seattle will be consistently good because Vegas wasn't. But if they have a great season next year, they're going to say, well, turns out that this strategy of taking lots of defensemen and trading it for picks and keeping like doing these trades with teams to say, okay, you can keep this player if you give me this pick, whatever. If that works for Vegas and they continually be good, Seattle had better do it the same way. If they don't, well, then they're just being stupid.
I think they should do it the same way anyway, because anybody who thinks that this is a one-off and it's never going to happen again is nuts. The way that they're playing, unless this year comes up and all their RFAs and UFAs end up getting traded or won't re-sign or ask for too much money, then all of a sudden that cap space goes away. Like, there's a lot of room for error here for sure, but if the team that they have together right now stays together, there is no reason to believe that they're going to perform any differently than they did this year. That's my humble opinion.
No, I completely agree. And speaking quickly again on George McPhee, he may or may not be the smartest GM in the league this year. Like 1,000 IQ GM, because everything he did this year has been to make his team better. Even taking bad contracts from other teams helped him, because you talked about earlier about how I was really amazed by the amount of picks that they have. Here, I'll give you the first three rounds over the next 3 years. They have no 2018 first, because they traded, it was in the Thomas Tatar trade. They have a 2019 first and a 2020 first, which are both their own. In 2018, in the second round, they have their own. In 2019, they have their own and Columbus's, so they have two. In 2020, they have three, their own, Dallas's, and Pittsburgh's. In round three in 2018, they don't have a pick. In 2019, in round three, they have three, Winnipeg, Nashville, and their own, which is slightly unfortunate because those are probably the three best teams in the league, so they're going to be later picks, but
yeah,
still picks nonetheless. 2020, they have their own. So in the first three rounds, they have, over the next 3 years, they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 picks in 9 rounds.
That's nuts.
That's insane.
That's nuts.
I think the thing that George McPhee did that really helped them was putting in...
Be a wizard?
Like, pull some, like, miraculous trades and all these things. But the two things that he did, using defensemen as a commodity,
they're just taking
as many defensemen as he can. People were saying,
they're actually a currency now.
Exactly. People were saying, wow, he took so many defensemen, he's not going to be able to ice all of them. Well, that was never the plan. The plan was never to ice 15 different defensemen. It was, I'm going to take as many defensemen as I can because I know that's more of a commodity than left wingers or right wingers or even some centers.
Right. I mean, and unless you have special players in those positions.
Like a Ryan Johansson or Evgeny Kuznetsov, a defenseman is still worth more than a center in this league. So he took those. And what he essentially did was, teams come to me with your offers for these players, and whichever six I have remaining, those are the six that'll play for me. And I don't care which ones they are. So if Mark Mathot wouldn't have got traded, he probably would have started. If, like, all of those players that he took, if they didn't get traded, they would have been on the team. But he was cool with letting those players go and getting what he needed for them.
He absolutely 100% basically held everyone up for auction.
He actually did, though.
No, I know. 100%.
He held other teams hostage in terms of he told other teams, you can only trade with me. So I am the go-to person. So I can make whatever deal I want with whatever team I want, and you can't do it without me. So
and I think the rules really, really helped Vegas in this way.
Which
McPhee was a wizard about it in that, like you said, he picked players not because he wanted them on his team, but he knew the value of them. It's like picking a car that the body's all messed up on, mm-hmm. and everybody's like, oh yeah, take that. Who cares? Like that. Like no, I don't care. Like it's just sitting in the driveway. I'm not using it. I'll give it to you for a steal of a deal. And then turning around, stripping the parts off it, and turn it. Like then all of a sudden you're driving around in a Mercedes.
Turns out the car has a brand new engine or something.
Yeah, like exactly.
Something
like,
that the average person wouldn't see, but you know is a commodity. And that's the power of, or that's why these guys are GMs.
Absolutely.
Like they're not a GM because they can
list off. If he doesn't win some sort of award,
he has this
year.
Many goals or he has this. It's because they can see talent and they know what the price for this talent is. And there are some GMs clearly that are better than others.
Well,
I'm not going to get into the ones that are bad. It's pretty obvious.
We don't need to go into that. that said, Toronto, I think, played above themselves this year and they played great. I look forward to seeing them be competitive. And that's from a person who hates the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yep, same here.
But when they're good, it's good for the league.
Yeah,
right? I agree. It's mm-hmm. good for the league across the board when the Leafs are good. When the Leafs suck, it sucks for hockey
in
general.
Just have the biggest fan base. So the NHL is clearly trying to get fans because they're trying to move games into China. Well, that's the biggest market. So they're clearly looking to grow the brand or grow the market.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
When the Leafs are good, it just makes more fans want to watch games. And I think what the league is looking for and what hockey fans should be hoping for if their team is not in the playoffs is Vegas versus Pittsburgh in the final. And here's the reason for that. Vegas is in their inaugural season. They already have essentially like clearly outdone what everyone expected from them. So if they're in the finals, it's going to be crazy and people it's going to be a huge story.
And an option for Pittsburgh to three-peat.
Exactly. That's the reason for Pittsburgh, right?
So that would be an insane final.
Yeah, it's three-peat best player in the world versus inaugural season best playoff performance of all time.
That said, Winnipeg showing up and playing against Pittsburgh, I think would have a very similar reception
for
in
sure.
that Winnipeg finally... You know, Winnipeg 2.0, the Jets 2.0, yeah. finally actually do something of value, mm-hmm. as well as, you know, when was the last? It was 1987 when they won their last first round.
Yeah.
So, like,
it's been ages.
It's been a long time coming, especially for Winnipeg fans. But also to have a Canadian team in the league rallies an entire country.
Mm-hmm.
So then then it almost becomes a USA versus.
U.S. versus Canada. Yeah, no, you know, for sure.
I think both teams...
The other reason that I see Vegas being a better for the league than Winnipeg is...
Market.
One, the size of the market, but two, you've also tapped into a lot more of Winnipeg's market than you have Vegas. Because Vegas, while their market is bigger, they have never had hockey there before. Winnipeg fans have been waiting for hockey to come back. So all the people... that are fans now have been waiting to be fans. You're gaining new fans in Vegas.
The
team does, the more people want to watch them and the more people are getting into hockey and saying, wow, the Vegas Golden Knights are having this crazy season. You know, I want to see what happens next year and the year after. And then they go and they look and they see, wow, they have all these draft picks and like they're just set for the future. And then I really want to be a Knights fan. And then they're watching it for however long.
Right? So they are slowly winning me over as a Knights fan.
For sure.
You know, and it takes a lot to get a sports fan who's been watching sports and dedicated to sports for as many years as I have. I'm not saying how many because it'll tell you how old I am, but for a long ass time, and to consider following a whole new team right out of the gate as a brand new expansion club, and I don't even live in their market.
Yeah,
and that's how exciting they are to watch this year.
That's the craziest part about them is how people in other hockey markets care about how the Golden Knights do. Like, I'm clearly a Jets fan, as we're in Winnipeg, but I want to see the Knights do just as well as the Jets, which I don't care about any other team in the league as much as I do Winnipeg, and Vegas is a close second, which is insane.
Isn't that nuts?
It's insane.
Like, nuts. It's
it just
nuts.
Doesn't make sense.
It makes no
but
sense.
But that's the power of doing well.
And yeah, and I mean, I'm a Habs fan first. I'm a Jets fan. They're my second team, and I would say that they're my number one in the West, obviously. But even when I didn't live here, I loved the story of the Jets coming back, and like, what a great inspirational thing it was for Canada in general to get another team again, and for it to be in Winnipeg was amazing. But for the Vegas Golden Knights, and I'm from Nova Scotia, it doesn't get a whole lot farther away from Vegas, geographically speaking, than Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Yeah.
So for me to be paying attention and considering throwing a little bit of allegiance behind them, and I mean, so like unconsciously, I have been doing that mm-hmm. by paying yeah. so much attention. There have been nights where, especially this year, where the Habs did not play well. Oh, so there were nights yeah. where the Habs played and Vegas played at the same time, and I watched the Vegas game instead. And other Habs fans can skewer me for that all they like, but they've been super exciting to watch.
Oh, they're one of the most exciting teams in the league to watch, by far.
100%.
The Habs.
Ooh. Yeah, they did not have a great year. I don't even want to get into that. They're not in the playoffs, so let's move on. Speaking of teams we haven't talked about yet, Pittsburgh and Washington. That is a matchup that always creates sparks, and it has been a pretty intense go this year.
I want Washington to win so bad.
Poor Ovi, hey? He just can't get it done in the playoffs.
He's just... I don't want to say he's unlucky, but you got to be called unlucky having to go against Pittsburgh every year.
Like every single year.
You would think at least one time something would happen where Pittsburgh doesn't get through, and then all of a sudden Washington has more of a free ride. But nope. Even when Pittsburgh doesn't go through and they don't face Washington, Washington still manages to lose.
Every single year. I don't know what it is. They don't have that playoff whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that spark in the playoffs.
Which doesn't make sense because, at least if you look at it on paper, because they have like one of the best centers in the league in Kuznetsov. They have, obviously, Alexander Ovechkin. They have a top-tier goaltender in Braden Holtby who has shown that he can play well. And they have a pretty solid defense. So they have all the pieces on paper. And for some reason, they just can't get it done in the playoffs.
They perform so well in the regular season. It is so disappointing every year.
They win President's trophies and just steamroll teams. And even in the first round of the playoffs, a lot of times they'll do like really well against whatever team they're playing, whether it be Columbus.
Well,
because
they always they win the President's Trophy, so they end up with the lowest seed.
Yeah, exactly. They end up with like the squeaker
in
the playoffs, and then they just get steamrolled in the second round.
Yeah, oh. I can't. I don't even want to get into the playoff format.
Okay, I
hate
it too.
I hate the playoff format, the way they have it set up.
I hate it and I love it because it's nice to see good teams play each other, and it's fun to be able to know that those playoff matchups are going to happen for a long time. So, like Winnipeg-Nashville, which is an insane series, but we'll get to that.
But that is the second round.
Yeah,
it's
the second round, so it's unfortunate to have to see two top teams go against each other so early, but it is fun to watch them actually play each other.
No, agreed. That said, they were the ones that knocked us out a couple of years ago, so there's that thing. But mm-hmm. let's not talk about it. But
yeah,
I saw the scowl on your face. For those listening at home, there was a scowl.
Yes, there was.
But the big thing that just sort of, I don't know, it just rubs me the wrong way how, you know, you work so hard in the regular season and then you don't get the easy draw in the playoffs like you used to. I think they should go back, personal opinion obviously, but I think they should really go back to the top team in each division.
One versus eight,
no,
basically.
But to top team in each division, guaranteed a playoff spot, and then it's the next best teams.
Yeah. Okay, I see.
Right? Points-based.
Yeah, okay.
Right? I think that goes...
Right. So basically 1 through, what, 16 get in the playoffs no matter what division they're from?
Yes.
Because right now what it is if you're in 20th place but you're the fourth team in one of the divisions, you'll get in over a team that did better from a different division in your conference.
That the wild card BS has no place in here, as far as I'm concerned. The problem comes when you start doing things like when we had uneven teams.
Yeah, I think
31 teams in a league.
I think that's a 50-50 if it's a good or bad thing. And the reason for that is you get more interesting end of season play because you have more teams fighting for playoff, like playoff potential. But then you get less one-sided stomps in the playoffs, which is also kind of a good thing. But then the negative side is you have a 1-versus-2 seed in the second round of the playoffs.
Exactly. And
you're going to have it every year.
And I don't likely. Yeah, and I don't agree with it. I think top team plays the bottom team. It's obviously you want to reward people. Top team in every division, guaranteed a playoff spot. Everyone else, it's points-based.
Yeah.
How do you do in the conference?
Yeah, what I don't like is how little being the best team in the regular season means. Because being a top team in the league is no better, or being a top team in your division is no better than being a second seed. Like, what is the difference?
Yeah, it doesn't reward all of the effort that the whole point of the regular season is to set up the playoffs. And,
yeah, exactly.
And I don't feel that teams that do really well are rewarded as much as they should be. So I really don't like the format as is. But we can't change that. My opinion has always been that I am not a fan of Gary Bettman.
Uh-huh.
Forever. He's an awkward little terrible decision maker who is slowly but surely doing stupid things to ruin the sport. But, opinions vary.
Yeah, I don't know. There are some things that I like with Bettman and some things I don't like. I think he's doing things for the betterment of the game, but some things are just... They're obnoxious as a fan of the game, but if you really strip it down, you can tell that some of the things that he does are necessary.
Yeah. Well, that's...
It's hard for me to just
give
him a straight thumbs down, you suck.
I could. I'm not going to sit here and crap on somebody, though. What I would rather do is talk about that Jets-Nashville series.
Oh, my goodness. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's turning out to be super exciting. That game last night, that 7-4 win, was absolute mayhem.
Boy, it was the most fun playoff game I've ever watched in my life.
It was chaos.
It was insane.
Yeah.
the thing that I was worried about when we finished playing Minnesota, obviously the Jets...
The hangover?
They kind of put a whooping on Minnesota. Let's be honest here.
Yeah.
But they did lose one game, and the one game they lost, it wasn't close. Like, the Jets got steamrolled. Now, I don't know if that's just because they took a night off or because it was in Minnesota, but... When I see a matchup like that happen, where they just get stomped and they're the better team, or should be the better team, and then they have to go and play the number one team in their division and in the league, that gets real worrying to me. I'm like, oh no, like this is not good. And then all of a sudden, and they get outplayed in the first game against Nashville, but managed to win. Shots were like
40-15 or something. Mental. It was mental. I could not believe the shot total.
We all know that Hellebuck just stole that game. Like, it shouldn't have been a Jets win. And, like, no. It was obvious. But it happened. The second game was as close as it got, or as close as it can get. Double overtime.
Just heartbreak.
For the Jets. But you know what? If anything, I think it makes the series better. I think it makes it more interesting.
I picked the Jets in six. I picked the Jets in six. So if they can give up one more game in Nashville, I'm okay with that because that
makes your prediction right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so at this point, as long as the Jets win all the rest of their home games, I don't care.
Yeah. they like to. They definitely like playing at home. Their record is just absolutely insane.
They're
31.
Were they the best?
5-5.
Or second best at home.
They were in the top three. That's about as good as I can get.
Yeah, I can't remember.
But they were unreal at home.
Just sick stats. And Hellebuck in particular. Just, whoa, that was a big hit. Sorry,
he had...
Did you see that?
he had an awful first period in the third game against Nashville, the one that was last night. Just an awful first period. But Paul Maurice clearly has faith in him, kept him in, and then he played a pretty stellar rest of the game, and so did the rest of the Jets. Obviously, they were getting badly outplayed.
Something happened in that first intermission. He lit a fire under their asses, and they came out in the second period a totally different team than they played the first period.
I think
two completely different teams.
I think with the Jets, I honestly think it comes down to an embarrassment thing. The Jets, especially when they're at home, they don't like to be embarrassed. And obviously, nobody likes to get stomped. No team likes to be embarrassed. But every game that the Jets are down or they have a bad first period, in the second period, they always come back and they put up a fight. It's never just like, oh, well, we're down 3-0. We lost. Let's just play to end the game. With them, it's a fight. It's always been a fight. Even no matter how bad their first period has been, they always at least put up an effort to come back. And a lot of the times they do come back and make it interesting, like what happened last night.
Yeah, absolutely. And just an article that just came out, they just decided that Washington Capitals forward Tom Wilson has been, he's been suspended 3 games for an illegal check to the head of Penguins Zach Aston-Reese.
I can't believe it's only 3 games, to be honest. Hockey Twitter was saying that it would probably be nothing because Tom Wilson has a history and he never seems to get suspended for things. But the key word there is he has a history. And 3 games for an injury or a check where a player breaks his jaw and gets a concussion, 3 games.
Is that not sufficient, you're saying?
Not even close. Considering, and this is not just me being like, oh, you know, like, it's hockey and 3 games is whatever. But if you look at the Toronto-Boston series, Nazem Kadri got a 3-game suspension.
Yeah.
And it was...
He
does have a history, true. He has, so, if anything, probably one of the worst histories in the league with doing things like we were talking about earlier, the red mist. But he gets 3 games and the guy pops back up instantly. How is seriously hurting somebody only get you 3 games? Like, how is injury versus no injury the same amount of time?
Well, I think it depends on the intent, too. Like, I think the Tom Wilson's hit, it didn't to me, and this is everyone's opinion is going to be different.
Of course.
But watching it from the number of angles and in slow motion and at real time, it didn't look originally like it was a hit to the head at all.
Yeah.
I can agree with that. I think it was just the way that Aston-Reese turned at the last minute exposed his face to that. I think there was some of that played into the decision.
Yeah,
okay. Obviously, the contact was made. It was an actual illegal hit that they deemed it as such. You know, so they've given them the suspension. But I think the reason it's only 3 games is because it didn't look like that was his intent. He wasn't headhunting. He didn't do it out of malice. It wasn't something that was retaliation for something. I think those are parts that.
Yeah, they're definitely mitigating factors.
Absolutely.
So I guess the two things that I still wonder about is, like, a dirty hit is a dirty hit.
I agree.
And they said it was an illegal check, so...
And they deemed it as... And you think it was suspended, exactly. Obviously.
So, of course. Now, is there a difference between dirty and illegal?
Yes.
Okay.
Right? So, because it's about intent.
Okay, so it's an intent thing.
Right?
So what does intent...
If I high-stick you in the face... because I was swinging for the puck, it's still a penalty.
Okay.
But if I hit you in the face because you said something about my mom,
yeah,
right? That's an intent thing where I meant to hit you in the face.
Yeah.
Like that it was clear that that was what my goal was, right? So that is both dirty and very illegal, right? Illegal is duh.
I guess.
Because I hit you in the face.
Technically,
but if I mean to, that's dirty.
Technically, any penalty in a game is illegal. Tripping somebody is illegal.
Exactly. That's why it's against the rules.
Slashing somebody is illegal.
It's against the rules.
Yeah. And, so you can have a dirty
hockey
slash.
Hockey doesn't use the same terminology as soccer does. Mm-hmm. Whereas soccer, they don't have a rule book. They have the book of soccer law. They're actual, like, it's a law. They have it written as laws. The law is this. So in hockey, it's the rules say, right? So we have rules and regulations.
Yeah.
So it's a small term difference, but I feel like mentally people think of it so different.
Yeah.
Right. But an illegal hit is a breaking of the rules, or it goes against the law of the game. And so just because it's illegal, I trip you, clearly it's a penalty. I'm going to the box to sit for two. Did I mean to trip you, or was I swinging for the puck and I was just late because I was too lazy to take that extra stride?
Yeah.
Right?
For sure.
It's intent. So that's the difference in my opinion.
Yeah, no.
Illegal and dirty.
That makes sense.
So I think that would be the factor why why I can't get my lips together here, but why Tom Wilson was only suspended the 3 games, which actually matches what Kadri got. So that would be, looking at it, that would be the difference.
Okay, so we're saying, just to summarize here, and correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
Kadri's was, he intended to hurt the player that he hit, and it was dirty, quote unquote, whereas Tom Wilson, it was a dirty hit.
It was an illegal hit.
It was an illegal hit, but he did not intend to hurt the player with the hit. And therefore, because Kadri has a history, because Wilson has a history, one was illegal.
One was dirty.
And caused injury. One was dirty and didn't cause injury. But it was dirty. Those would cancel out, quote unquote.
Yeah, you would find them, like,
equally appalling.
Yeah, to a point. I and again, the Wilson hit, I don't find appalling. I think it was extremely unlucky.
Yeah.
On both players' parts.
Yeah.
Obviously, you never want to hurt somebody you're playing against unless you're an absolute asshole, and those people get weeded out in a hurry, a.k.a. McSorley with the...
Yeah.
Like, going back, there's a number of...
Stick to the face or right? back of the head or whatever.
Yeah. So, that kind of thing.
On Brashear.
Yeah. So...
Okay. So, here's one more question.
Okay.
If Tom Wilson... It's Evgeny Malkin, Sidney Crosby, Nick Bonino. Granted, Nick Bonino is not on the level of Evgeny Malkin or Sidney Crosby, but he's a more important...
A more household name.
A more household name, and also a more important player to the Penguins playoff series this year.
Do you think that...
What happens if he hits a player of a higher profile? Does he get the same amount of games because they're looking at the hit? Or does he get...
From a regulations point of view, it should be the same amount of time. Mm-hmm. Now, the issue is that opinions are humans.
Well, exactly. Right? That's what I'm getting at here.
To answer your question, what should happen is that it's the same.
Mm-hmm.
What is going to happen is that it's very likely not the same.
Yeah, well, there's always a little bit of human judgment call.
Absolutely.
And there's a reason that's like that. Like, you can't...
Yeah, there's no...
It's hard to make a computer decision, computer quote-unquote.
Like, yeah.
A decision where, because there was a hit to the head, it's 3 games. Because the player got hurt, there's another 3 games, or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
Whereas, there's human judgment. Did he mean to do it? Did he not mean to do it? Whatever, right?
Exactly.
And we've clearly seen, especially this year, that there is a lot of decision-making or... I don't want to say bias, but interpretation of the rules with things like at the beginning of the year, face-offs, where players are getting kicked out of the face-off circle.
They're still getting kicked out. Every year the officials leave and they come back with some sort of different emphasis for the season.
Mm-hmm. Or the big one this year, and hopefully it'll get a little bit more either fixed or lenient or whatever, or the rules will be better... put together so that refs have smarter decisions, is goaltender interference.
They got to do something there because there's so much disparity in the
two players do the same thing, and there's two players do the same thing, but there's two different refs and there's two different calls. One's goaltender interference, one isn't.
It doesn't even matter if it's a referee.
Clarify the rule.
Let's say they both don't get called on the ice. They both get challenged. One could be ruled as.
Exactly.
Even though they're identical. It depends on who's in the booth. It's all about opinion. Mm-hmm. And they really need to do something, to your point, to really fix that specific problem.
So, I was reading an article. I don't know.
Our TV just turned on. That was cool.
So I read an article and they talked about how the NHL, at the beginning of the season, they spoke with referees and they said, we want you to be more, we want you to be less lenient on face-off
infractions.
That's the word I'm looking for. We want you to be less lenient on face-off infractions at the beginning of the year. And you saw people getting kicked out one after another. Boom, I mean, you're gone, you're gone.
If two guys get kicked out of the same face-off on your team,
yeah,
it's a penalty.
Yeah.
It's a delay of game penalty. And we saw a number of those at the beginning of this year.
Yeah. And they said that throughout the year, the refs have been told by the league, I don't know if this is true, this could very well be somebody's opinion from what they see, but I'll take it as what actually happened for
the sake of argument.
For the sake of argument. At the beginning of the year, you saw it happen constantly. They were told throughout the year, okay, let's start toning it back. And apparently the reason they were so strict on it at the beginning of the year was to teach players that what the proper way to do face-offs is and not to cheat in the face-offs.
Well, it's so funny that that's the level of hockey they're playing and they're only just teaching that now. But because I don't know if you have any experience with junior hockey. Being from Halifax, we don't have an NHL team. So the Halifax Mooseheads were the team to watch.
Yeah.
So I had season tickets to that with my dad and we would go watch. And my dad is I officiated hockey for a while, but my dad is has been officiating for quite a long time. And that was always something that we laughed about was how many junior players are taking faceoffs correctly. And as soon as they make the NHL or the AHL, they give up that strategy because it's not enforced. And if you do it right, you're going to lose the faceoff.
Well, exactly.
So what the league's trying to do is make it so that it's fair every time.
Yeah.
A
lot of it came down to one player is willing. Willing may not be the best term, but I'll use it. Willing to cheat more than the other player.
Yeah.
So they're willing to get a little bit more of a head start or whatever it may
See,
be.
And
we're watching the Tom Wilson hit. They're showing it on the TV again. Right now.
And I honestly,
Glove. I didn't see that.
Again, watching it in slow motion there, I don't see any intent. Totally an illegal hit. He got him in the head. Absolutely. When you slow it down, in real time, it looks like a good hit. In real time.
No, I agree with that.
Yeah, so I think there's a little bit going on there. But anyway, quickly before we close out, what do you think of Brian Burke making a transition to sportscaster or analyst?
I think it's always nice when someone has overstayed their welcome, finally realizes, and moves on.
That's
Brian
fair.
Brian Burke is one. The other one is that happened recently is Lou Lamoriello, who left as the GM of the Leafs.
But I think they did it right. Obviously, he was sad because he wants to be part of what's coming because Toronto is, over the next couple of years, going to be amazing.
Apparently,
and I think Lou Lamoriello has to be given quite a bit of that credit.
He is, from what people are saying, is he has one of two options at this point. The Leafs are going to keep him around. It just won't be as the GM.
No, he's a consultant.
He's going to be a consultant, exactly. Yeah. Or his other decision, which I'm not exactly sure why he would choose this over staying with the Leafs, who are clearly going to be a good team, is going to the New York Islanders and possibly being their new GM.
They need one.
they need one, and they need a good one, which clearly, over the past couple of years, Lou Lamoriello has shown that he is a good one.
Absolutely, now, and he did a lot of great work in Toronto, and I hate giving Toronto props, as we know, as I've established already, but between Brendan Shanahan and Lamoriello, that team is a whole different thing than it was even half a decade ago.
Oh, it's insane, their transformation.
Absolutely.
That is like not even really the Oilers, because they're still bad. But they've been bad for God knows how long.
The Oilers are inexplicably bad. How you can have four first overall picks in a row.
Basically, yeah.
And not have anything to show for it.
The Oilers are just a whole other beast, and we could spend an hour just talking about them.
Speaking of an hour, we're coming up on 50 minutes here-ish, so we should probably cut her a little bit short today, or short, I say. We talked for almost an hour. But and we also only just talked about the playoffs in the NHL this year. We are going to be talking on this podcast about all sports. If you have questions, write them in. We want to talk about everything, and we want to know, did you see that?